بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to our followers, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. And let me begin by apologizing for delaying the resuming the lessons simply because we were at Hajj. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to accept the Hajj from those who went there. And I ask Allah Azza wa Jalla also to grant the opportunity of Hajj to those who haven't been there before. And of course, as you all know, that Hajj is one of the pillars of the pillars of Islam. And therefore, if you haven't done the Hajj yet, you must take this this pillar seriously and try to do Hajj if you haven't done that before. And subhanAllah, even though that financially probably can be a factor, it could be a problem. However, there was just one story that I'd like to mention. When we were there, we met an old Pakistani man, and we sat with him, and he sort of told us his story on how he got here. He said he's been saving money for almost 9 years, and just before he came, he sold some sort of car he had. He sold it to make that extra money and the spending money he'd need at Hajj, and he came. So there's pretty much no excuse for anyone. You should take this pillar seriously. This is a pillar of Islam. This is a pillar that you finish off your Islam with. And this is part of a Muslim, that he performs Hajj. For those that haven't done Hajj, at least once in your life. So take this pillar seriously. If money is an issue for you, then there's no excuse. Save from now. If you are to die from now and whenever, then Allah Azza wa Jalla, He knows your intention, and you've been true to your intention by saving your money, and there is no excuse. Try to put your names as soon as possible for those that do intend to do Hajj next year. As you've noticed in the past years, no group advertises for Hajj anymore, because from a year before they're all full and they're finished to the end. So try to put your names as early as you can. And that's if you intend to do Hajj. If you don't have the money for it, then start saving from now. If it took you 9 years, 10 years, whatever it is, just inshallah ta'ala, begin somewhere, have this intention, and we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make it easy for those who haven't done Hajj yet to perform this pillar. But inshallah ta'ala, today we begin with Surah Al-Fajr. And this is what we stopped off last time. We had the lesson in Tafsir Juz' Amma, and we concluded, we ended off with Surah Al-Ghashiyah, and that is the surah before Surah Al-Fajr. Surah Al-Fajr is a Meccan surah. So it was delivered and it was revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before the Hijrah, during his life in Mecca. And just to refresh on one point, and that is that the Meccan surah, you will find that the majority, the dominating theme of these surah is that it will address the issue of the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will address the issue of the resurrection, and it will address the issue of the message and the messenger, yani the Quran and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is what Makkah Quran is all about. It's all about proving the oneness of Allah azza wa jal, and about proving the resurrection. And it also proves also the message and the messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we're going to find this apparent in this surah, in Surah Al-Fajr, because obviously it's a Meccan surah. But before we begin with this surah, we'll start with what we generally do at the beginning of every surah, and that is connecting it to the previous surah that came before. And of course we said that was Surah Al-Ghashiyah. Surah Al-Ghashiyah, and then after it is Surah Al-Fajr. Now, at the end of Surah Al-Ghashiyah, we read a threat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He concluded that surah by saying, "Inna ilayna iyabahum, thumma inna alayna hisabahum." It is only to us that they will return, and it is only upon us that we will judge them, that we will hold them accountable for everything they have done in this life. Now, that is how it ended. It ended with a threat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It spoke about two issues, al-iyab wal-hisab, the return to Allah and the judgment that Allah azza wa jalla will hold everyone accountable for. Now, this surah, Surah Al-Fajr, it begins with an oath. وَالْفَجْرِ وَلَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ وَالشَّفْعِ وَالْوَتْرِ وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَسْرِ. These are all oaths that Allah Azza wa Jal takes, and they're at the beginning of this surah. But just to refresh something with you, and that is, why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take oaths in the Qur'an anyway? Why does He take an oath? Now, you know, of course, you open up the translation, وَالْفَجْرِ, it'll write, by Fajr. I swear by Fajr. That's not something we can really connect to, because we don't really understand what that means. What does it mean that Allah took an oath by Fajr? Or even before this, what does it mean that Allah took an oath by something? You know, we know that if I was to tell you something and you don't believe me, then I'd take an oath. I'd say, Wallahi, I tell you I was at the masjid. And now I see a look in your face that you really don't believe what I said. So I say, Wallahi, I was at the masjid. For us, when we take an oath, it's to prove a point that we find the listener not believing. So we say, Wallahi. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, contrary to human beings, وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا. You know, no one is more truthful in speech than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So why does Allah azza wa jal take an oath by something? If Allah azza wa jal only speaks the truth, then why does He take an oath and say, وَالْفَجْرِ? What kind of point is He proving? So in other words, when Allah azza wa jal takes an oath by something, and we already accept everything Allah says, it indicates to that this thing is of a great deal to Allah. That's why He takes an oath by it. There's something huge. And when He takes an oath by Himself, it's even greater. So in other words, when Allah Azza wa Jal takes an oath by something, that something is known as the object. And when He takes an oath by it, it is signifying the greatness of this object. There's something great. You need to read this ayah, stop and reflect. So when He says wal fajr, man, that's one word. And the ayah finishes and then another ayah. And wal fajr is a whole ayah. That means don't just read it and move on. Wal fajr wa layalin ashr. Stop and reflect. Allah made it one ayah. Didn't make them two and connect them all together. So there's something very, very serious and huge in the oaths that Allah Azza wa Jal takes an oath by the object, so we can sit back and relax and reflect upon this object that Allah Azza wa Jal has taken oath by. And so the first, the answer to this question, why does Allah take an oath, is to grab attention. So we know Allah Azza wa Jal is truthful in His speech, so why does He take an oath? To grab attention. So that He can grab attention of the listener, and so that you can have extra focus, and it requires extra attention from you so that you reflect upon this object. That's the first reason. So it grabs the attention of the listener. Now, the second reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath, as we said, so you can reflect upon the object. You know, and also so we can be prepared for the actual lesson of the surah. And so the oath is almost like an introduction of the surah. You'll find always in the Qur'an, when there's an oath, Allah Azza wa Jal takes an oath by something. I told you that is referred to as the object, we already know this. And then after it, there comes the subject of the oath. There's a subject. Allah is taking an oath to something. So for example, I say, Wallahi, I went to the masjid. My subject is, I went to the masjid. That's the second half. So what's different when Allah Azza wa Jal takes an oath as opposed to human beings taking an oath is that always the object has a direct link and connection to the subject. So when Allah Azza wa Jal, for example, He says, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. That's the lesson of Surah At-Teen. That indeed we created man in the best of fashion, right? That is the lesson of the surah. But before He teaches us this lesson, He says, وَالتِّينِ وَالزَّيْتُونِ وَطُورِ سِنِينَ وَهَذَا الْبَلَدِ الْأَمِينِ. He swears by the fig and by the olive and by the Mount of Sinai and by the sacred city, which is Mecca. He takes an oath by these objects. Then he says to us, indeed, we created man in the best of fashion. And the question comes up, what does the olive and the fig have to do with the creation of a human? When we get there, inshallah ta'ala, we'll answer it. But what I'm trying to say is that the object, when Allah takes an oath by something, it is actually an introduction to the subject of the surah. You will not understand the surah unless you understand these objects that Allah Azza wa Jal takes an oath by. So when we come to speak about this surah, we're not going to fully understand it until we understand why does Allah take an oath by Fajr? What does that signify? What is it alluding to? Why does he take an oath by 10 nights? وَلَيَالٍ عَشَرٍ وَالشَّفْعِ وَالْوَتْرِ Why does he take an oath by the even and the odd? And then وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَسْرٍ And by the night as it goes and takes away. Why does he take an oath by that? What's all that important and how is that relevant to the subject of the oath? And a matter of fact, there are some surah in the Qur'an that when Allah Azza wa Jal takes an oath by something, he doesn't mention the subject. The subject is gone, right? And this is one of the surah. The subject is actually erased. We don't find the subject here, but we can make the subject. We can know what the subject is from seeing what does Allah Azza wa Jal speak after the oath and what came before it. This is something inshallah ta'ala will implement practically as we read on in this surah. But at first, let's just understand the beginning of the surah and what is happening and what Allah Azza wa Jal, why he takes these oaths. So these are two reasons why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath in the Qur'an, to grab the attention of the listener and so we can reflect upon the object, because it is going to be almost like a precursor, an introduction to what subject Allah Azza wa Jal is going to teach us and what lesson He wants to teach us in the surah. Now, let's understand the first ayah, Wal-Fajr. Of course, we're going to understand it first, then we're going to connect it to the end of Surah Al-Ghashiyah. We still haven't forgot, the end of Surah Al-Ghashiyah was about two things. What were they? Al-Iyab, which is the return to Allah, and Al-Hisab, which is accountability. So we're going to have to understand Al-Fajr and then we'll connect both of them together. So the word Al-Fajr, Wal-Fajr, the waw here is known as waw al-qasam. Allah Azza wa Jal is saying Wal-Fajr, in other words, I swear by. This is what waw means, I swear by. Al-Fajr, it comes from the word Fajara. Fajara means, literally it means for something to explode, or something to rip completely so that light emerges or comes through it. That's what Fajr means, literally. And that's why the first prayer of the day is called Salat al-Fajr, because the night curtain, think of the night curtain, it rips up and light starts to come through it. So it was called Salat al-Fajr, because that happens. And you know, just yani, to think of it practically, if you were to, if you're at home and you have a window and you have a black curtain in front of the window, open it up in the morning from the middle and open it, what happens? The light comes straight through. So that's kind of what happens when the Fajr time approaches, and when the Fajr time, when it's Fajr time. The night is, think of it like a black curtain, and then it rips in half and light comes out. When this light emerges, in other words, it explodes right through this night curtain, this black curtain, that is Al-Fajr. That action is Al-Fajr. So now Allah Azza wa Jal is taking an oath by this time. And it's important to note that Fajr time is the beginning of life. Fajr time is the beginning of life. In other words, at this time, at the time of Fajr, The animals begin to come out of their dwellings, the birds start chirping, right? No one wakes them up, it's just natural, they come out. And from among the humans, and from among the creation of Allah that has a choice, it is only the believer who wakes up at this time, as we said, by his choice, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah Azza wa Jal swears by this enormous time. And Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah, he says, at this time, which is the time of Fajr, the hearts are the most closest and most fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because the slave has woken up for no other reason except to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, at Fajr time, no one wakes up to cook, no one wakes up to clean, no one wakes up to take their children to school or to wake up and go to work except a few, but the majority. And what's common is that this time, if you were to wake up in this time, it is purely for Allah's sake and for nothing else. This is why that at this time the heart is the most closest to Allah Azza wa Jal, because you got up only for Him, so you can go and pray. The other thing is, Al-Biqari rahimahullah, he says, when Allah swears by the morning, when He swears by Al-Fajr, which is the dawn, sorry, He is swearing actually by life after death. This is what it refers to. Because night sleep, when you sleep at night, it's a symbol of death. And when you wake up, it's a symbol of resurrection. Allah Azza wa Jal, of course, He mentions this in the Quran, you know, sleep is a minor death. And when you die, that's the major death. And when you wake up from your sleep at Fajr time for the believer, that is known as the minor resurrection. And when Allah Azza wa Jal brings us up on the Day of Judgment, that's known as the major resurrection. And Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, اللَّهُ يَتَوَفَّى الْأَنفُسَ حِينَ مَوْتِهَا وَالَّتِي لَمْ تَمُتْ فِي مَنَامِهَا فَيُمْسِكُ الَّتِي قَضَى عَلَيْهَا الْمَوْتِ وَيُرْسِلُ الْأُخْرَى إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى. Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, it is Allah who takes the soul away at the time of death. And those that die not during their sleep, He takes the soul of those which He has ordained death and sends the rest of the souls for a term that is appointed. In other words, when we all sleep, we're all dead. There is no soul in your body when you are asleep. So if Allah has ordained and decreed that you're going to die in this sleep, your soul doesn't go back to your body. And if Allah has ordained that you're going to live, He will send that soul back into your body. It'll go into your body, you'll wake up. This happens every night. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, An-nawmu akhul maut. Sleep is the brother of death. Sleep is the brother of death. And this is how we understand that sleep is a minor death, and the death that the other one, when we die, that's the major death. And this is also why we understand the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he teaches us. It's a sunnah when going to sleep, what do we say? Bismika Allahumma amutu wa ahya. O Allah, with your name I die and I live. I die and I live. We don't say Bismika Allahumma anamu wa astaqil. We don't say, O Allah, it's with your name that I sleep and wake up. We say that I die and I live. And also when we wake up, it's a sunnah to say, Alhamdulillahi alladhi ahyana ba'dama amatana wa ilayhi nushur. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah who gave us life after we had died. Who gave us life after we had died. Right? So there's this term of ahyana and amatana. So we allude to our sleep at night with death, and when we wake up, we mention the fact that Allah gave us life. So this now is a reminder of resurrection. Wal Fajr. This oath, Allah Azza wa Jal is reminding us of resurrection. And how are we going to connect it to the previous surah? In the previous surah, Allah Azza wa Jal ended it by two things, Al-Iyab and Hisab. To us, or to Allah Azza wa Jal will return and He will judge us. Now, Fajr time, when you wake up, you're waking up only for Allah's sake, right? Only for Allah's sake. And when we die and Allah Azza wa Jal resurrects us on the Day of Judgment, we only get up from our graves and walk towards who? We only walk towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and nothing else. So every single fajr that you and I wake up to, it is actually reminding us of the bigger resurrection that will happen on the Day of Judgment. So every time you wake up for fajr, reflect upon this time. You only got up for Allah. And on the Day of Resurrection, you will only get up from your grave for Allah only, for no one else. Subhanallah. And when you get up on that day, on the Day of Judgment, when you get up, you're only getting up and walking towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the judgment, for the judgment. And in this life as well, when you wake up at Fajr time, you only woke up to Allah, and you walked to go to the masjid to pray to Allah Azza wa Jal, to hold yourself accountable. To hold yourself accountable. Hold yourself accountable. Are you able to wake up for Salat al-Fajr and pray? You know, this a lot of the ulama, a lot of the salaf, they said that the meter of iman for every person is his relationship with Salat al-Fajr. That's your iman meter with Salat al-Fajr. You can get up, well, alhamdulillah, that's a good sign. You can't get up, well, then that's a bad sign. So Salat al-Fajr, the time of Fajr, is a time where you hold yourself accountable. Right? And subhanAllah, this is the connection of it to the previous surah. The previous surah ended up with these two things. That we'll return to Allah, and that He'll hold us accountable. And this surah began with al-Fajr. And Fajr time is a time where we return to Allah, and it is a time where we hold ourselves accountable. If we made Salat al-Fajr, then alhamdulillah, it's a good sign of iman. If we didn't make it, then be very worried about yourself and your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is how this surah began. Now also, some of the ulama, they commented and said, wal-fajr, this is actually alluding, and it's referring to Salat al-Fajr of a specific day, and that is the day of al-Nahr. Yawm al-Nahr means the day of Hajj. Al-Fajr here, in some of the narrations, in some of the commentaries, some of the opinions of the scholars, they say that this Fajr, Allah Azza wa Jal, is actually referring to the Fajr of the day of Nahr, the day of Hajj. And subhanAllah, the Fajr on the day of al-Nahr, and this is the day of, يعني, Yawm al-Nahr actually begins your sleeping in Muzdalifah. Right? Who's been to Hajj here? Who's ever been to Hajj? Alright, we have a few people that have been to Hajj. Anyway, in Hajj, for those that have been, they know this, there is one night that you sleep on the dirt basically. You sleep on the ground. And you wake up to pray Salat al-Fajr in Muzdalifah. That place is known as Muzdalifah. And you wake up to pray Salat al-Fajr there. Wal-Fajr is referring to that Fajr. This is in some of the opinions. Wal-Fajr is referring to that. Because that Fajr is the most apparent, the most apparent indication to resurrection. That Fajr. Why? Because everyone is wearing their ihram. And everyone is sleeping on the ground, on the dirt. Which almost, yani basically, this is resembling your life of al-barzakh. Right? You're only centimeters, you're only a blanket away from where you actually will be buried. And so you're sleeping on these plains, there's millions and millions of people, and everyone is in one clothing, and you get up, everyone gets up at the time of Fajr and prays Fajr. That actually symbolizes resurrection. So when we read wal-fajr, and we understand by wal-fajr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's swearing by this, He's actually swearing by life after death, where does that manifest? Where does it become most apparent that fajr is resembling and symbolizing resurrection, life after death? On that day, the day of Nahr, the day of Hajj. And that begins with fajr that is prayed on the plains of Muzdalifah. So whoever is there, and of course those that have been to Hajj, and those that inshallah ta'ala will have the opportunity and be there, you're going to realize this. When Fajr time, everyone is up and everyone is praying. Almost 4 or 5 million people, subhanAllah, everyone is standing on the plains praying. And this is what it reminds you of. That these people were sleeping, That symbolizes that they were now in Hayat al-Barzakh, they were in their graves. Now, Fajr time, they're up and they're praying. And this in itself signifies resurrection. So we read one Fajr, this is referring to life after death. And this is how it connects to the previous surah, because the previous surah spoke about two things that happen yani on the day of judgment, that is the return to Allah, the resurrection, and the judgment taking place, the accountability taking place. This is one Fajr. Also, yani just let me share one more thing on this ayah. Some of the ulama, they comment and they say that this ayah wal Fajr is not just a reminder of the hereafter. It's not just a reminder of resurrection. It is also a reminder of the dawn of Islam. Wal-Fajr, the dawn of Islam. Meaning that Islam is going to manifest and is going to become prevalent apparent in the struggle of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you know, by the way, I mentioned that this surah, Surah Al-Fajr, is a Meccan surah. It's a Meccan surah. And at that time, right now in Mecca, everything is still dark. There is no victory of Islam yet. The future seems uncertain. There's idols all around the Kaaba. The believers are being prosecuted and punished by Quraysh. So there is no real victory of Islam yet. This is in Mecca. So Allah Azza wa Jal, He guarantees the victory of Islam to His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by telling him wal-fajr. He swears by that dawn time, in other words, just like that morning light rips through the darkness, this mission of Islam is going to rip through the darkness of shirk, and tawheed will be established in the land. So wal-fajr, although it does remind us of resurrection, it also, some of the ulama mentioned that this also is a guarantee to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam that Islam, the victory of Islam, is very soon. And the victory of Islam is going to be given to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And of course, that was the case. Now we move on to the next ayah, and we'll connect it with the first ayah as well. And that is walayalin ashr. Walayalin ashr. The brief translation, by 10 nights. I swear by 10 nights. This is still Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taking an oath. Now He's taking an oath by 10 nights. He didn't say وَالْلَيَالِ الْعَشَرِ. Right? Listen carefully. He said وَلَيَالِ الْعَشَرِ. وَلَيَالِ الْعَشَرِ means by 10 nights. وَالْلَيَالِ الْعَشَرِ. The difference is that an alif lam is added, and that will give you a different translation, that will be translated to and by the 10 nights. Now when you say by the 10 nights, you are actually pointing to something. But when you say by 10 nights, then you're not pointing to anything. You've opened the scope. It could be any 10 nights. If I told you, get me the chair, that means I'm pointing to a chair and I want that chair to come here. But if I was to tell you, get me a chair, then that means that chair, that chair, that chair, any chair, pick any chair and just bring it. So Allah Azza wa Jal here, He doesn't say, وَالْلَيَالِ الْعَشَرِ, by the 10 nights. He says, and I swear by 10 nights. And this is why the ulama differed as to what 10 nights is Allah referring to. Because it's not a definite article. He didn't define it by being the 10 nights. If He said the 10 nights, then there can only be one possibility. But Allah said, وَلَيَالِ الْعَشَرِ, by 10 nights. So now the ulama, the majority of them fall into two camps when it comes to this ayah. One would say that this is referring to the last 10 nights of Ramadan. Others would say this is referring to the first 10 nights of Dhul-Hijjah, which we just passed. Some others would say that this is referring to the first 10 nights of Muharram, which is the next month, that is yani after Dhul-Hijjah. But anyway, we're not going to say that they're right and they're wrong. Why? Because we said Allah didn't say by the 10 nights. He said by 10 nights. So it can be this, it can be the 10 nights of Ramadan, can be the 10 nights of Dhul Hijjah, can be the 10 of Muharram. The scope is open. The scope is open. Now, before we mention some things about this, I want to give you a fact about the first 10 nights and the last 10 nights of any month. The first 10 and the last 10 nights of any month, the shift of the position of the moon is the most visible during this time. What I mean is that the first 10 nights and the last 10 nights of any month, that's when you will notice significant changes in the moon. And the middle 10, there is change of the position of the moon and of the size of the moon and so on, but it is not as visible. It's a minor change, it's not as visible to the eye. But the first 10 and the last 10 nights, the change is very visible. Everyone can see it. Now, even though the oath is talking about the night, it still continued the theme of what the surah actually began with. You know, the surah, it began with paying attention to the sky, right? You don't know it's Fajr unless you pay attention to the sky. You don't know it's Fajr unless you pay attention to the sky and see the light coming out. And also, the last 10 nights and the first 10 nights of the month, you must look up towards the sky in order to tell when does the month begin and when does the month end. In other words, when Fajr wa Layal and Ashr, what brings them together is the fact that you have to look up the sky to identify both. To identify Fajr time, you need to look up. And to identify 10 nights, the beginning of a month and the end of the month and so on, you also need to look up at the sky. And of course, wa Layal and Ashr, some of the ulama held the opinion that this is actually, it alludes and it summarizes the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa layal and ashr. It summarizes the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How does that happen? Wa layal and ashr. The two majority opinions we said are the 10 nights of Ramadan. This is the last 10 nights. And what was the second opinion? The first 10 nights of Dhul Hijjah. In the last 10 nights of Ramadan, there is Laylatul Qadr. Laylatul Qadr marks the beginning of revelation, right? نَازَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ. That's when the Qur'an began. When the Qur'an began, that's when the mission of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also began. So the beginning of the message is the beginning of the mission of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he performed Hajj, of course, in Dhul Hijjah, right? We do not perform Hajj in other than the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed Hajj, how many times did he perform it? Once. And when he performed Hajj, that signified the end of his mission. Because after, by 2 months, he had died. When he went back to Medina, he died, right? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when you read wa layal in Ashr, when we speak about the 10 nights of, the last 10 nights of Ramadan, that indicated the beginning of the mission of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because that's when the Quran was revealed. And when we say it's the 10 days, the first 10 nights of Dhul Hijjah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam only performed one Hajj in his life that happened in Dhul Hijjah, and that signified the end of his mission. So wa layal in Ashr, it basically summarized Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's seerah. It gave us the beginning of his life, the beginning of his mission, and the end of his mission. So let's say his mission, not his life. The beginning of his mission, the end of his mission, is all captured in wa layal in Ashr. For subhanallah. Wal Fajr, what did it refer to? It alluded to life after death, right? It was indicating life after death, resurrection. What is, yani that means it's alluding to the day of judgment, right? What is a great sign of the day of judgment? The death of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the coming of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yani the birth of Rasulullah and the death of Rasulullah, that is a great sign, or sorry, it's a minor sign of the day of judgment. Subhanallah, how two of these ayat now connect. And subhanAllah, it's not even apparent. You read wal fajri wa layal in ashr. This is why the oaths are deep. You need to reflect upon these oaths. And not merely just read wal fajri wa layal in ashr and move straight over to the end of the surah. Well, you're learning now wal fajr is indicating to the day of judgment. And a minor sign of the day of judgment is the sending of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in this we have a great lesson. وَالْفَجْرِ وَلَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ. Now, and of course, we said وَالْفَجْرِ on the other saying that it guarantees victory to Islam. It was a promise, a guarantee from Allah to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Islam will prevail and that victory will be given to Islam. That was with Al-Fajr. And وَلَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ, it guarantees the Day of Judgment because it's a sign. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, him coming and him going, it is a sign of the Day of Judgment. So that guarantees the Day of Judgment. And Al-Fajr guarantees Islam. Al-Fajr guarantees that victory is to Islam. Right, now we move on to the third oath of this surah. We're trying to connect all of them together. So that was the connection of the first and the second. The third oath, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالشَّفْعِ وَالْوَتَرِ. And actually in this ayah there's two oaths. وَالشَّفْعِ. وَالشَّفْعِ means, and I swear by the even. شَفْعِ is even. 2, 4, 6, 8, an even. وَالْوَتَرِ, and I swear by the odd. Swear by the odd. So there's the even and the odd. So now there's, so far we've taken four oaths. وَالشَّفْعِ وَالْوَتَرِ. When we come to this ayah, there are many, many, many sayings for the ulama. Let's just summarize and bring in what actually brings it all together. In one saying, that ash-shafa' is referring to all the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because all the creation of Allah is created in pairs. Allah says, وَمِن كُلِّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقْنَا زَوْجَيْنِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ وَخَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا. That from every single thing we created pairs. So الشَّفَعَ, Allah is taking an oath by all creation. That's الشَّفَعَ. And الْوَتَر is who? Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He has no pairs. Allah is one, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وِتْرٌ. This is the hadith, يُحِبُّ الْوِتْر. So when we say وَالشَّفْعِ وَالْوَتَر, الشَّفَعَ, it refers to all the creation of Allah. Al-Watar is referring to Allah. Allah is taking an oath by all creation. Allah is taking an oath by Himself. And of course, everything that Allah created is created in pairs. So you have the sun, you have the sun and the moon, you have even the animals. There's male, there's female. There's the sky, there's the earth, there's the water, there's the fire, there's the day, there's the night. There's guidance, there's misguidance, there's happiness, there's sadness. Right? Everything has an opposite. And subhanAllah, I was reading one of the tafsir. This is tafsir al-Sheikh al-Shanqiti, Abwa al-Bayat. He even went to mention that everything is created and it's composed of atoms. And atoms, there's protons and neutrons and electrons. And it's the protons that are of a positive charge. And electrons are of negative, the electrons are of negative charge. So in other words, if everything is made up of atoms, and the atoms themselves, they have this opposite, the positive and negative. You know, even the battery has a positive and a negative. So in other words, everything is created in pairs. There's pairs for everything that Allah Azza wa Jal created. The only thing that remains odd is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's odd, He's one, and there is no other with Allah, there is no partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So ash-shafa' is referring to all creation, and al-watar is referring to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the most broadest of the tafsir of this ayah. But we also, one of the sayings is that ash-shafa' is all the days and nights of this life, because every day is paired with a night. Alright? Listen to this. Ash-shafa', every day of this life is paired with a night. There is no day except it has a night. There is no night except it has a day. There is only one day that doesn't have a night. What is that? The day of judgment. So, in one of the sayings, Al-Shafa' is the days of this world, Al-Watr is the day of judgment. Is the day of judgment. Now, to connect it with the previous oath. What was the previous oath? Wa layalin ashr. What did we say layalin ashr was? Yalla, speak. What's the last 10 nights of Ramadan? And first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. Wa shaf'i wal watr. Odd and even. How does odd and even connect to 10 nights of Ramadan? Laylat al-Qadr is an odd night, so but still.
Today and the night.
Alright, now I need an odd and an even.
You have the day and the night, and then you have the numbers, which is even.
Let me give you the answer. No. The last 10 nights. Ramadan, it is not always last 10 nights. It can be 9, it can be 10. Right? It's not every single Ramadan is not always 10 nights, 10 nights, 10 nights. Sometimes it's 29 nights, sometimes it's 30. Therefore, if we say this, then the last 10 sometimes are 9. 9 is an odd number. Sometimes they're 10. 10 is an even number. So this is, we're still again, bringing this chain and connecting these ayat with each other. So Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَالشَّفْعِ وَالْوَتَرِ. Of course, it's understood as الشَّفْعِ being all the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and الْوَتَرِ is referring only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because He's odd. But when you want to connect the ayat together, then you can say that الشَّفْعِ is referring to when the last 10 nights of Ramadan are even and they're 10, and Al-Watr is referring to the last 10 nights of Ramadan when they're actually 9 nights. So this is wa-shaf'i wal-watr. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, wal-layli idha yasr. And before we move on to this, there's one more saying I'd like to share with you. It's going to become very important when we reach the end of the surah. Of course, at the end I'll refresh this with you, but let's just share it for now. وَالشَّفْعِ وَالْوَتْرِ. Also, it refers to الشَّفْعِ, referring to the even prayers. The prayers that are even in number of their rak'at. So that is what? Salat al-Dhuhr, al-Asr, al-Isha, and al-Fajr, but al-Fajr already been mentioned at the beginning. And al-Watr is referring to which prayer? Salat al-Maghrib. Salat al-Maghrib. And this is a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in where he says, Al-Maghribu witru nahar. That Maghrib is the witr of the day. And then he says to us, continuing this hadith, فَأَوْتِرُوا صَلَاتَ اللَّيْلِ. Then pray the witr of the night. So Al-Maghrib is the witr of the day. That's how we conclude our day, with a witr. And then the hadith goes on to say, make a witr of the end of the night, at the end of the night. And that is the witr that we pray. That one rak'ah or three rak'ah, whatever you pray it, but as long as it's an odd in number. So there's the hadith, it proved that Maghrib is what is referred to by witr, because it's odd in its number of rak'ah. That becomes very important when we're going to mention and connect it to the end of this surah. So now we have wal-fajr, wal-layalin ashr, wal-shaf'i wal-watr. And by the way, as we read wal-fajr, wal-layalin ashr, wal-shaf'i wal-watr, Allah Azza wa Jalla is also teaching us that these are the best times of worship. Fajr time, layalin ashr, and of course we know the last 10 nights of Ramadan, they have a significance and a virtue, yani more than the other nights and the other days of the year. And the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah and the nights as well, they have a significance and importance as opposed to all the other days of the year. Right? There's a hadith in this, and the Rasulullah ﷺ, he says, مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ الْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ فِيهِنَّ أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْعَشَرِ. That there are no days in where performing good deeds is better to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as opposed to other days.
Even then the companions asked, وَلَمْ جِهَادُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Even if someone was to go for jihad, then Rasulullah ﷺ said, even if he was to go jihad, except one person that goes and doesn't come back, then that no one would beat his status. But in the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, any good deed you do, this is the best. As opposed to all the other days of the year, it's even better than jihad. You're to sit down in these 10 days and say subhanallah, it's better than someone going to jihad. You're to pray 2 rak'at in these 10 days, it is better than going to jihad. Of course, except if someone went and never came back. So this is the only person that will be better than the actions in these days. So now, Allah Azza wa Jalla is actually speaking to us about sacred times. Times where you're supposed to make the most of in terms of worship. And when we get to the end of the surah, we're going to find a promise Allah Azza wa Jal gives to people that made use of this time. You make use of Al-Fajr, you make use of the 10 nights, you made use of Al-Shafa' wal-Watr, in other words, you prayed your even prayers and the odd. You prayed these prayers. Allah, He promises you something at the end of this surah. Right? When we get to it, inshaAllah ta'ala, we'll speak about it. So now let's move on to the fifth oath. And Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَسْرَ وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَسْرَ. And Allah Azza wa Jal is taking an oath by the night as it strolls, as it takes a stroll, as it goes away. وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَسْرَ. What we find something incredible here is that in normal Arabic, we will say وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَسْرِ with a ya. Yasri. But in this surah, Allah Azza wa Jal, or in this surah, what we find when we read Yasr, the ya is omitted. There is no ya as we read. There's only ara kasr. So when we read it and we stop, we read wallayli idha yasr. But normally, it's yasri. So why is this ya omitted? Why does it go away? Firstly, so it can come equal with the sequence of the surah. So it can fit in the sequence of the surah, so it can fit in this rhythm of the surah. Because later on in the surah, we're going to read, فَأَمَّا الْإِنسَانُ إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ رَبُّهُ فَأَكْرَمَهُ وَنَعَّمَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَكْرَمًا. Where in normal Arabic you'd say أَكْرَمَنِي and then رَبِّي أَهَانًا, where in Arabic you'd say أَهَانَنِي. There's a yeah. So this surah, it has something to do with the mission of this ya. When we get to the akraman and ahanan, I'll tell you the benefit, the rhetorical benefit of why the ya is removed. But now here, wallayli idha yasr. So why it's removed? So it can remain in sequence of the surah, so it can all look the same. That's why it's removed. Now, the other thing is, wallayli idha yasr. Allah takes an oath by the night as it takes a stroll. As it travels. So one of the ulama once, one of the students of a alim, he went to his teacher and he asked him, what's wallayli idha yasr? The night as it takes a stroll, what does that mean? He said to him that people take a stroll at the night. People travel in the night, not the night travels, people travel in the night. So he explains to him something. And he says to him that when Allah Azza wa Jal takes an oath by the night as it travels, in other words, this is illustrating Allah's power, that people, they have control over themselves, but they don't have control over time. It is Allah who controls the time. It is Allah Azza wa Jal who commands the night to travel and to come and go. Allah, He commands the day to come, and He commands the day to leave, He commands the night to come in, and He commands the night to travel. It is Allah Azza wa Jal who actually moves the day and the night. So when Allah says, وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَسْرَ, and by the night as it travels, this is illustrating Allah's power, that Allah controls time, and you only have control over yourself and what you do at night. You travel in the night. You can control what you do at night. But Allah is controlling the bigger picture. He's controlling the night itself. So it's proving Allah Azza wa Jalla's power and His oneness. Now, in mentioning oneness, and of course, وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَسَرْ, when the night travels, as the night goes, يعني this is referring to what part of the night? The end of the night, the last third of the night. That's when the night begins to move away and Fajr is coming in. And that also is a sacred time of worship, the last third of the night. So we have Al-Fajr, this is a blessed time of worship. You have Al-Layali Al-Ashr, the last 10 nights of Ramadan, the first 10 nights of Dhul-Hijjah, this is a blessed time of worship. Wash-Shaf'i wal-Watar, the 5 daily prayers, they're a blessed time of worship. Allah Azza wa Jalla, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he mentions in the Hadith, Hadith Al-Qudsi, وَمَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا افْتَرَضْتُهُ عَلَيْهِ, that the servant, there is nothing that brings him close to Allah except by what Allah Azza wa Jal ordained and made obligatory upon him. You want to get close to Allah? You want to become close to Allah? Then the first logical thing is to just implement the obligations that Allah Azza wa Jal obligated upon you. So that's a blessed time. The times of the prayers, the 5 daily prayers is a blessed time. وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَسَرْ, and that is referring to the night, at the end of the night, as the night is going. As it travels and it's gone and the day comes, that's the last third of the night, that's also a blessed time of worship. And you make the most of these blessed sacred times of worship, Allah Azza wa Jal promises a great reward at the end. What's the last word in this surah? وَدْخُلِي جَنَّتِي, that's the last word. In other words, this is, it's alluding to that, make the most of this time in terms of worship, and I'll give you jannati, I'll give you my paradise. And he ascribed it to himself, jannati, my paradise. We'll speak about the rhetorical benefits of this, inshallah ta'ala, when we get there. But anyway, let's just, inshallah ta'ala, conclude with something. And that is that, at the beginning of this lesson, we mentioned that Surah Al-Fajr is a Meccan surah. And from the themes of the Meccan surah is that it's there to prove the concept of the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To prove the oneness of Allah. Because we're in Mecca people don't believe in Allah azza wa jal. They believe that He created and so on, but they don't worship. They don't believe that we have to enslave ourselves to Allah. So Allah azza wa jal now, because this is a Meccan surah, these oaths will actually allude to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also. Above everything we shared, all these 5 oaths, they point to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They prove the oneness of Allah azza wa jal. And you know, when you take an oath by something, for example, if I say, I swear by Allah, what does that mean? That means I made Allah a witness to what I'm about to say. So when you take an oath by something, when we say Wallahi, what does that mean? That means you have made Allah a witness to what you're going to say. So when Allah says Wal-Fajr, He's made Al-Fajr a witness to something. And He's made Al-Fajr a witness in these terms, and yeah, He's made it a witness to His oneness. He's saying Wal-Fajr. That means Allah is making Al-Fajr a witness to His oneness. Wal-Layalin Ashr, He's making the 10 nights a witness to His oneness. In other words, if you observe Fajr, it's going to tell you and it's going to prove to you that Allah is one. If you were to feel and live the 10 nights, you're going to realize that Allah is one. وَالشَّفْعِ وَالْوَتْرِ, the odd and the even is also a witness to that Allah is one. And by the night as it travels, it is also a witness that proves Allah is one. How? Let me share with you and conclude with this. Allah Azza wa Jal takes an oath by Fajr, right? And of course I mentioned to you that Allah Azza wa Jal, meaning that Allah Azza wa Jal has made these creations a witness to His oneness. Fajr time is a witness to Allah's oneness. Fajr time is a witness to Allah's oneness. Because he gives life to the creation after causing death upon them. And because the believer wakes up only to declare the oneness of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Right? It is Allah who gives you the life, who gives you your soul back at Fajr time. Therefore, every single Fajr we wake up to, it proves that Allah is one. And when you wake up and you pray the Sunnah of Fajr, what do you read in Sunnah al-Fajr? What's the first surah you read? Surah al-Kafirun, that denounces shirk. Then what do you read? Surah al-Ikhlas. Surah al-Ikhlas affirms the Tawheed. So in other words, you begin your morning by denouncing shirk and affirming Tawheed. That is oneness of Allah Azza wa Jal. So every Fajr, you have a proof that Allah is one. The 10 nights, they're also a witness to that Allah is one. So if we're going to say Layal al-Ashr, let's say it's the 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. What does everyone say in the 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah? Labbaik Allahumma labbaik, labbaik la sharika laka labbaik, inna alhamda wa ni'mata laka wal mulk, la sharika lak. This is a word affirming the oneness of Allah Azza wa Jal. So if you are to live these days and look around your left and right of you and hear these words, this is in itself a proof that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one. Ash-shafi' wal-watar. How is that a witness to that Allah is one? As we said, because everything that you look around left and right of you is created in pairs. And the only one thing that is not in pair is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So ash-shafi' wal-watar in itself, everything you look at will remind you of that Allah created it. Why? Because it's pairs. And Allah said He created the pairs. وَخَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا. So everything that has a pair, you're going to have to say Allah created it. What's the only thing that remains without any pair? It's Allah. Therefore He is al-watar. Therefore ash-shafi' wal-watar, it is a witness to Allah's oneness. And the night taking a stroll, the night traveling, is a witness to Allah's oneness, because it's evidence that Allah controls the day and the night. And usually it's the people that take a stroll in the night. But in this ayah, Allah is saying, and by the night as it takes a stroll, this proves that Allah is in control of time. He's the one that makes the night move, and He's the one that brings the day. In other words, He controls the time. Who else controls time? No one. Therefore it refers to, and it's a witness to Allah's oneness. If someone else can control time, maybe there's a different story there. But because no one does this except Allah, therefore the night moving is a witness that Allah is one, because He's the only one that moves it, no one else. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla, He concludes this set of oaths. He concludes these set of oaths by saying, هَلْ فِي ذَٰلِكَ قَسَمٌ لِذِي حِجَرٍ. That's how He concludes this set of oaths. هَلْ فِي ذَٰلِكَ قَسَمٌ لِذِي حِجَرٍ. A very powerful way and a very powerful question and a way to end these oaths. He says, is there in that enough of an oath, enough of a powerful oath for people with intellect? Is there enough of an oath? Is there enough of an oath, of a powerful oath, for people of rock solid intellect? Hijab. Yani subhanAllah. In other words, Allah Azza wa Jal is teaching us how huge these oaths are. He's saying, isn't it enough? Are these wal fajr, wal layal al-ashr, wal shafi' wal watr, wal layl idha yasr? Isn't it enough of an oath? Isn't it enough for you people to understand, for people with rock solid intellect? And the word hijr, it comes from the word hajar. Right? Firstly, hijr here translated as intellect. Intellect, right? This is that the Arabs would refer to a brain, saying, huwa thu hijrin. That means he is someone that has intellect. Now, the word hijr comes from the word hajar. Hajar is a rock. It's a boulder, something huge, a big rock. And of course we said it refers to the aql, to the intellect. What does a rock have to do with intellect? You know, also hijr, literally it means al-mana'. Hijr, al-hajr means al-mana', to prevent something, to stop something. So the mind was called hijr because you use it to prevent you from doing something wrong. right? It prevents you from doing something wrong. Simply, yani if you touch fire, you don't have a hajj. If you touch fire, you don't have intellect. Right? Your intellect is supposed to stop you from touching fire, so it was called hijr. And you know, when you're on a road, and there's a big rock in front of you, doesn't it stop your path? It stops you, it prevents you from getting to the other side. So it was called hijr, because the hijr, the brain, the mind, this intellect, it's what stops you from trespassing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's limits. So Allah has limited you to things, and is defined, there's borders. You're not allowed to cross this, you're not allowed to transgress this. That's where the rock is supposed to be. And that's what your mind, your hijab, your intellect is supposed to tell you not to pass this boundary. And that is called hijab. So Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, isn't there enough of an oath for people of rock solid intellect? In other words, if you understand the depth of these oaths, you're someone that has intellect. If you just merely pass by them and understand nothing, and do not take any lesson from it, then you're someone without an intellect. So this is how Allah Azza wa Jalla worded, and fi dhalika qasamun li dhi hijr. And subhanAllah, nowhere else in the Quran Allah calls us to reflect upon an oath except here. Except in another place, and that is in Surah Al-Waqi'ah, when he says, wa innahu laqasamun law ta'lamuna 'azeem, when he takes an oath by the positions of the stars, mawaqi' al-nujum. And then he says, وَإِنَّهُ لَقَسَمٌ لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ عَظِيمٌ. Indeed, there is a huge and enormous oath in that. So that's the only other place that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invites us to really reflect upon that oath. But here is the other place, and this is seriously calls us to sit and reflect upon these oaths, inshaAllah ta'ala. Yani we're not going to say that we've done justice to the ayat, but inshaAllah ta'ala we've shared a few things on these يعني آيات, and a few reflections on these oaths. والفجر وليال عشر والشفع والوتر والليل إذا يسر هل في ذلك قسم لذي حجر. Also another thing I can remember now, الشوكاني رحمه الله, he mentions that this is a very strong way of Allah Azza wa Jal calling us to reflect upon the oaths. You know, just for example, he says if someone was to bring proof in front of you. Someone wants to tell you, man, this person owns this car, and I saw him driving it, and I saw him park it in his driveway. There's a picture, look at it, he's driving it. There's a picture of the car in his driveway. There's a picture of him and his family in the car. But the car is his. So at the end I'll say, isn't there enough proof? Haven't I shown you enough proof that the car is his? When I really get angry at the end, you're not believing, what do I say at the end? Haven't I given you enough proof that the car is his? So this is what happens, sort of what happens at the end of this. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, isn't there enough proof in these oaths for people with rock solid intellect? So this is it's brought with so much power and emphasis. In other words, it really calls you to reflect upon these oaths. Now when the oaths are done, there comes something known as the subject of the oath, which I told you. But in this surah, it happens to be mahdoof. It's removed. And what the ulama say, it's that it's muqaddar. We estimate a response and a subject of the oath based on what is going to come after and what has come before in Surah Al-Ghashiyah. And the subject is لَيُعَذِّبَن. لَيُعَذِّبَن. So in other words, Allah is saying, I swear by Al-Fajr, and I swear by 10 nights, and I swear by the even and the odd, and I swear by the night as it takes a stroll, I will punish. I will punish. What is the proof of this? The next passage of this surah, Allah will say, أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِعَادٍ. He'll give us examples of how he destroyed people in the past. So I will punish. And in the previous surah, Surah Al-Ghashiyah, Allah Azza wa Jal, he spoke about the Day of Judgment. هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ الْغَاشِيَةِ وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ خَاشِعَةٌ. He spoke about the punishment. فَيُعَذِّبُهُ اللَّهُ الْعَذَابَ الْأَكْبَرُ. Allah will punish him, the ultimate form of punishment. So before it spoke about punishment, and then after the oaths, Allah gives us examples and scenarios of how he punished people in this world, and so therefore the subject of the oath is لَيُعَذِّبَنْ, I will surely punish. You don't believe? Let me give you examples. And subhanAllah, what's very beautiful is that in the previous surah, Allah warned the disbelievers about the Day of Judgment. And the Day of Judgment is unseen. وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ خَاشِعَةٌ عَامِلَةٌ نَاصِبَةٌ تَصْلَى نَارًا حَامِيَةٌ تُسْقَى مِنْ عَيْنٍ آنِيَةٍ لَيْسَ لَهُمْ طَعَامٌ إِلَّا مِنْ ضَرِيعٍ. What their food will be, لَا يُسْمِنُ وَلَا يُغْنِي مِنْ جُوعٍ. You know how their faces will be, what their food will be, and so on. The punishment of the Day of Judgment is unseen. So now, if the kuffar haven't believed that because it's unseen, maybe they weren't afraid because it's something in the unseen. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them something that they can see. And that is the ruins of Ad and Thamud, which are in close proximity of the Arabs. So you don't believe the Day of Judgment because it's unseen? Yeah, I'll give you a warning, and I'll teach you of people I destroyed who are much more tougher and stronger than you. And look at their ruins, they're right beside you. Go and see what Allah did with them. أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِعَادٍ. Didn't you see how Allah dealt with Ad? You know? And usually, how Allah dealt with them, the question that he'd ask, you'd say, what did Allah do with Ad? But Allah asked the question of, how did he do with Ad? He didn't say, didn't you see what Allah did with Ad? We'll explain, inshaAllah ta'ala, the difference of this next week. And we'll speak about why does Allah speak about Ad, Thamud, and Iram, and Fir'aun, as opposed to everyone else. And this is the last time Allah will mention anything about Ad until the end of the Qur'an. This is the last mention of Ad. And it's very beautiful how it comes in a question form. InshaAllah ta'ala will also speak about Alam Tara. What does Tara mean? See, and what kind of see and sight? What does it refer to? InshaAllah ta'ala will share these things next week, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, same time after Maghrib next Saturday. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us people of the Qur'an, people who benefit from the reminders of the Qur'an. إنه ولي ذلك والقادر عليه وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.